such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Tony, you just fly in?
Yes,
you sure
I'm
do.
Here.
Okay, how you doing?
A little bit better than last
time. Okay, good. That's a good. So
that's
let's
a good sign.
Let's
start
with prayer so that we don't, forget. Not we didn't necessarily forget. We just, you took us off.
Yeah,
a whole new
I take full responsibility.
You take responsibility. So anyway, let us pray. We do pray. We pray for our nation. Very much in need of prayers. I hope everybody realizes that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The church as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the Covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of Heaven,
pray for us.
Morning Star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comforter of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of Angels,
pray for us.
Queen of Patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of Prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of Apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of Martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of Confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of Virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of All Saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the Family,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is a true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin, a Virgin's our mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let nothing disturb thee, nothing affright thee. All things are passing, God never changeth. Patient endurance attaineth to all things, who God possesseth, and nothing is wanting. God alone sufficeth. St. Teresa of Avila. You have to keep remembering to remember to pray and reflect on that every day.
Yeah.
So, all right, where do we go today? It's Advent. Advent. I don't remember. You know, I just moved from one thing to the next. But I want to go over. Maybe we spoke about this among ourselves. I'm talking to Tony. I'm talking to all of you. But did I go through the Pravda on the radio? I don't think we did.
No, we were going to.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, let's start there.
Yeah.
And because I tell you, we really are as we pray, you know, to Our Lady, asking at this very critical time. It is a critical time. I'm tempted to say a lot of things that I just...
Get you into trouble.
Could very well, you know. I'll tell you one thing. I got the nastiest phone message.
To me, I take full responsibility.
No, that wasn't. No, it wasn't. Okay. Nothing to do with the radio. This was a Thanksgiving. Angelica was at the Mass. Were you both there?
No,
Angelica
no,
was there.
Thanksgiving, we she was. Yeah. I was working.
Anyway, so this, I got the message on Saturday, but man, it was just. Did this person hear what I said? I did. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And you wonder where all this is coming from, but it's, you know, as I've said many times, one of the scariest things, I think, in the nation today is we can't speak freely.
Right.
Go ahead.
I think when you're saying this, as much as I don't want to go back to the last show we had, I'm beginning to see what people, and we've talked about this, how it's like code words or say a word and people get the wrong ideas or in honesty. I don't think people want anymore a conversation. They want to just tell you what is, in their opinions, what's right or wrong. And I think they perceive, you know, when others speak, that they're trying to tell you what's right and wrong. And there's no, I mean, I think having a conversation is a beautiful thing. Not only do you get the words you want out, but you really want to listen to people. But I think the way we are headed is people, they don't want to listen to another side. They have the answer, and they now judge you, the person that they're talking to, as either you're with me or you're against me. Yeah. And not everything is always confrontational. It should never be confrontational.
You know, it's in this regard, it was just, it was Thanksgiving. The gospel was the 10 lepers, you know, and right. One, you know, they're on the side of the road and they say, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And maybe we talked about it on Friday, I don't remember, but everybody knows the gospel, and mm-hmm. Jesus is going, "Show yourselves to the priests." And so they went, and on the way, they were all healed of mm-hmm. the leprosy. But one came back, he was a Samaritan, and to say thank you. And Jesus said, didn't I heal 10? How is it that only one has come back to give thanks? And he's a foreigner. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, the other nine were Jews, and this was a Samaritan, and so it was, that was kind of the gist of the, but it was really, and you can talk to Angelica about this because she was there, but your wife. But the first reading was this very beautiful reading about from, and I forgot what, was it from the Book of Kings? I don't remember, but it was about the need to keep the commandments and, you know, basically it goes back to, you know, because I made reference to the Book of Deuteronomy and, you know, that mm-hmm. if you keep the commandments, you prove yourself to be a wise, intelligent, knowledgeable people, you become the envy of other nations. And it was Thanksgiving Day, you know, so it's mm-hmm. it's like, you know, if we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and so I was speaking to that as well, but that perhaps, you know, or the question is, have we lost gratitude for what God has given us, the great blessings that we've received? And then, of course, the second reading was one of the epistles from St. Paul, and because you had a series of readings to choose from, mm-hmm. and it was one where Paul was thanking the Christians. He says, I want to thank you for keeping faith. And so I was, you know, I took the opportunity to say, you know, to thank you, because we had so many people in the church, and I thought, you know, it's the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Perhaps people have had their Thanksgiving dinner, they've been with their family, but they came. I didn't know whether I was going to go to confession because it was a holiday, but I decided at the last minute to, I'll just go to the confessional if I have to sit there and just pray myself, you know, I'll do that. I didn't expect that there would be so many people. They were already waiting, so I was even late starting the Mass. I feel like we talked about this Friday, but
a little bit. I think we talked about this part, but not the full.
So I wanted to, you know, I took the opportunity to say, you know, we Eucharist is Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We come in gratitude and thanksgiving that we've been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus, who didn't sin but took our sins to himself and took it all to the cross. And from the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That he showed that he didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer. And even that his cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Quoting the psalm. But then in the next breath, into your hands I commend my spirit. And so I was trying to, you know, tie that together, but it was that we live in our nation is, you know, this is it was Thanksgiving Day, and you know, it's in fact, I probably read this here too, because I heard this maybe Saturday morning. The quote from Abraham Lincoln, because he instituted the Thanksgiving Day. But so anyway, that was basically what it was, I felt this was a very beautiful message, because it was all based on sacred scripture, and then we, you know, afterwards we pray the chaplet, and most everybody stayed. It was there was just so many people there, and I got the call. It was one of these Comcast calls or whatever. It was a message, and just unbelievable. But like, you know, I was so, you know, this is shameful, and I wanted to stand up and went on and on and on. And he said,
and
you
what
know,
was the objection? I mean, I
couldn't figure it out. He was trying to bring COVID into this, and I didn't even mention it. I didn't even have COVID in my mind, the virus, and something about the lepers and all that. And and you're speaking to a full church, and he says, this is horrible, this isn't the last you're going to hear from me, and you're going to hear from the archdiocese, and I hope that,
This is the thing that always amazes me about the church. I mean, I've heard things that I don't agree with either. And I've heard things that would excite me to extend, to get me angry at a mass. But in my wildest, I could never be the person that would call and do something like that. Only because, I guess what I'm trying to say is, when people come to mass, it's not about them. And it amazes me when there is somebody that has these issues for whatever reason. And the first thing you want to say is, okay, this isn't about you. And it's just amazing how, you know, I think we all need to check why we come to church. And I think the real people that know, and you said it today, it's Thanksgiving. So if you come with your own baggage, and people do. That's why, again, people come with their own hurts and they come with their own pains. And a lot of times, too, when you say, oh, well, you know, say hi to people. And I think that's a good thing. But I think a lot of times people, they come because they know the meaning. They know why they're here. And they sure. You've said it many a times, too. You don't know what people go through. You know, people are having all kinds of issues that the comfort of being there does. So it amazes me how somebody like this, who, again, maybe has their own reasons for whatever, but to take it out that way.
It's interesting because it makes you not want to say anything.
Yeah. And that's you too. And I know you're very much with your words.
But that's the thing. Prudence is important, you know. Yeah. We pray for that, you know, that we'd be prudent, because I'm not going to, I know that I can get in the way, and I there's axes that I want to grind and all that, and I have to try to get out, and I always ask, Lord, get me out of the way, but to speak to the issues, to speak to the reality in which we're living right now, and I see again the gospel is not, as I mentioned, I think a couple of weeks ago on the radio, that. The one word you're never going to find in the scripture is the word nice. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be mean. And I consciously try to be. Yeah. In fact, there was a statement made in the conversation, in the phone message, you with your calm voice, and all that. And it's like
you're planning this.
And then finally you want the money for the Catholic Church and all that. It was shocking to me. I've had criticism, and I can take criticism, but it befuddles the mind, because you sit there and say, well, what did I had to ask a few, what did I say? I mean, and of course, the feedback was, you know, it was good. Even I thought, you know, because sometimes when we look at the hard teachings of the gospel, and this wasn't even about the hard, this was just about gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, that we show gratitude and that as a country, we're a country that's been so blessed, and have we lost our gratitude? Certainly if we want to, you know, push God out of the picture, we've obviously lost gratitude for God, for what God has done for us, our redemption, our salvation. In fact, when we'll take a break, we'll come back, and this will lead us actually into these quotes from the founding fathers. But because I tell you the truth, as I was raised, you know, and you said it just now, there's things you may not agree with, or you may not understand, or at the moment it may be, wow, this really rubs me the wrong way, or or whatever. It's just a little bit, and or it could even be harsh. It could be the hellfire, brimstone, whatever, that kind of stuff. But as I was raised, we were told, you know, that you respect your teachers, you respect your elders, you know, the adults, they have the authority, their responsibility, you know, in other words, you're being formed, and don't, you know, as my father would always say, you know, you get the chip off your shoulder. You know, I've said this many times, but, I always go back to that, even with people sometimes, you know, just get the chip off your shoulder. But, you know, so there may be things that I would disagree with, but I would never, ever lash out in such a way. And the other thing, too, is especially with the a homily, if I can get anything, you know, if I just get a kernel of truth, just something, you know, like let's say, you know, 9/10 of the homily was bad. When I say bad, I mean it would just, I couldn't get it or whatever, or it was like I could be rambling or all over the place. But there's something that that I could take from it. Then I felt like, you know, then I would say, well, this was good. Yeah, and of course, you know, I would think we'd want to be challenged. I certainly, before God and before others, I want to be challenged. I don't want to be, and this is where I think, you know, we so dangerously, we dumb things down in order not to offend, you know, the least common denominator where everybody's comfortable, don't rock the boat. And yet, that's so contrary to the gospel message, because it's a very hard message.
But see, there's proper ways of doing things. And again, I always start with, again, why are you here at the Mass? Okay, and if let's just say, for some reason, you don't understand something, or you don't hear something right, wouldn't it be better to come talk to you? And I know you're accessible.
I'd love to.
It's not like a matter of, okay, I'm the king here, and I said it, and we can't talk to the subjects. But, I mean, you're accessible to that respect that you'll sit and talk to somebody.
Well, I tried to seek out to find out who this was, because and this has happened on other occasions as well, and people where I did have— I did know who they were, and I would say, you know, come and talk to me. Let's sit down and talk, because I'd like very much to do that, just to, you know, make some clarification or to understand where you're coming from, whatever. More often than not, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think people, and I go back to saying what I think it's about. People may hear a word, or they're in a place that they shouldn't be. Maybe it's, I'm just going to say it, because I'm beginning to see more and more that this is the case, that there's a sort of possession. There's an evilness, a possession, I think, in people, an evilness. Because, I mean, I've had conversations too with people, and the minute you say one thing, it's like—
trigger.
The best way, a trigger, and you just, the devil comes out of people, and you think, hold on a minute.
Yeah, where is this coming from?
Let's talk.
Yeah, really, yeah.
We don't need to yell. We don't need to, let's just talk about this. Oh, no, you can't tell me. Okay, you either agree to disagree and move on, or you sit and you want to meet that person at that moment.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, isn't that the truth? And we had a— this was going back during the time when they were legislating for same-sex marriages and all that, and I was trying to give the church's position. You know, we can't support that. Mm-hmm. We're not, this isn't about being hateful to anybody. We just can't. This is contrary to our faith. Right. I go back always to what Pope John Paul II, when the people were protesting and burning effigies of the Pope, and they had helium-filled condoms, you know, that they were putting up, you know, in the presence of the Holy Father, yeah. the Pope John Paul II. This was in Belgium. And he just simply said, in a very calm way, he said, "You ask me to do what I haven't the authority to do. I don't have the authority to change these things." And it was the same thing with Pope Benedict when he was, I've talked about this before on the radio, but it was just in the procession to the Holy Family Church in Barcelona when he was making his visitation in Spain. And the gays and the lesbians had a kiss off so that they would, in mass, you know, they would, as a papal, the mobile was his, what a Pope mobile mm-hmm. was in the procession going to the church. They were there, you know, to protest. They had a mm-hmm. kiss off, so they were all making out and all that kind of stuff, you know, whatever. And it just okay. He didn't react one way or the other. You know, it just it's you know he was here for a purpose and all that. But I remember during that time when this was all being legislated, and I was trying to state the church's position that you know we can't support this because it's contrary to the natural order of things and contrary to the sanctity of holy matrimony, which has the purpose of bringing man and woman together for the purpose of a covenant, commitment, love, and the propagation of life. And this is, you know, it's always been the way it is, and this is how God ordained things to be. And I was, again, very sensitive to, I know, you know, people are dealing with all kinds of stuff, and so I try, and you know, as you've, mm-hmm. And I've probably said on the radio many times, I said, okay, so when I'm speaking about abortion or whatever it might be, but especially these, I know that there are people, women who have had abortion. I know that this is a very difficult topic for them. I know that there are people that are dealing with their own inclinations, sexual inclinations or proclivities or whatever it might be, or people who are in bad marriages or there's been a divorce. You know, I'm very conscious of that. And so I try to say, so often, or people dealing with their own addictions. But when we talk about the commandments of God, and we talk about morality, virtue, principles, and all that, I say this all the time. I say now we've all been affected mm-hmm. by the society, the culture that we're living in, and so we've all been either victimized or maybe we've been perpetrators of deviations, or been we've made victims of others, you know. So I try to be conscious of that, but that doesn't mean just because someone had an abortion or somebody is suffering with this or maybe not suffering, maybe they just expect that everybody's going to celebrate this or that or whatever, which is contrary to the gospel message. It doesn't mean that, you know, so as not to offend, we just dismiss. Because there's the, again, the full counsel of God. You know, it's not to pick and choose what's comfortable, but when St. Paul left Ephesus, and I bring this up all the time, and he says, I leave, he spoke to the priests, and he says, I'm leaving you now with a clear conscience, with a clean conscience. Because I did not withhold from you the full counsel of God. You know, in other words, I spoke to you the truth, but you need to know, and he said this, that ravenous wolves are coming to divide and destroy. And this has always been the case. But this one evening, I was at a evening mass, and I was speaking about this, you know, in defense of the marriage of the holy matrimony, the marriage of a man and a woman, and explain. And this guy came up in the into the sacristy and gay, you know, as he said, and he just tore into me, and he says, "You can't, you really believe this stuff, you know?" And you know, it was just, at first I wanted to, you know, go on the attack, mm-hmm. but I thought, no, just let him speak his mind, and he spoke his mind, and I said, "Yes, of course I believe this, but that doesn't mean that I look at you in any, you know, I'm not here to diminish you. The church looks at the human person. The church isn't fixated on your sexuality. Mm-hmm. The church is focused on your personhood, who you are, you know, especially as a child of God." But it just, or even in one of the letters, it was around that same time. So one time I just got horrible, horrible commentary from people, you know, "You're on the wrong side of history, you know, you're on the wrong side of love," and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, because I was commenting on the wedding feast at Cana of mm-hmm. Galilee, which is about the nuptial between God wedded to his people, but that's reflected in the relationship of a man and a woman who come together in covenant, and from this union of man and woman, life is propagated. You know, this is a very strange time. But even that aside, just politically speaking, you know, it's just it's so, you have to be so careful. And I find, you know, this is what happens is, when you're in a like you said, you should be able to have a conversation. Yeah. We may disagree, but we should be able to talk. And certainly that's where I welcome people to come mm-hmm. and talk to me, but not to shout me out mm-hmm. or shout me down or shut me out or you know, you have no right to speak. You shouldn't even exist. You know, you shouldn't even exist because of what you believe.
That's the dangerous thing, and I've been seeing this for years now. And God help us. I hope it doesn't get to a point, because it's already happening. It was happening years ago. And it's like, just, you know, our own elected officials were saying sometimes, go get into somebody's face. And just, that's not the way.
Well, you look at the police officers.
Yeah.
You watch some of this and you see these people. Black and white, you know, it's, but they're, I mentioned this last week in the horrible things, the horrible names they were calling these police officers who were trying to maintain police, but really had to back down. They couldn't do anything because they were told to back down. You know, I know a lot of police officers and God bless them, because what they're up against is just unbelievable. Well, you had the video of in New York City where they were
the water.
Dousing these police officers with police.
And
everybody's got the camera, and they're making it. Just this is not the America that there's something. Okay, you talk about diabolical. This is mm-hmm. this is a real diabolical disorientation, and if we don't get a grip on it, but see, even like with the election and now the I don't want to get into all that,
right.
But the whole some of the stuff that I've been listening to, and I try to listen from a wide variety of perspectives, but I'll tell you, and actually I heard this morning the Rasmussen report that the majority of Americans believe that this was a fraudulent election, and 30% of Democrats. That tells you a lot right there, you know.
Yeah. See, it's interesting now, because just by saying that, now
it's a trigger.
Yeah, you've just triggered,
sure.
You know, some other things. But I think, in all honesty, for people today to say that there was no fraud is being disingenuous. And because I would say that there was fraud in most elections.
Sure.
So, you know, again, this is not, I don't want to be that guy that sour grapes, oh, my guy lost. No, I'm about the guy that this is the new president. Let's go on and make these United States the best we can do. We have a new president. We have a new direction. Hopefully we make it. You know, we don't need to have this, you know, when did it become us and them? Let's work together.
Well,
this is our country. We need to work together to get the things done.
Is there, it's like Jesus standing before Pilate, and Pilate said, are you true? Are you the king? He says, so you say I am. Mm. You claim to have the truth. Or Jesus says, I come to bring truth. And Pilate just kind of shrugs his shoulders.
What is truth?
What is truth? It's all relative.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back. And I want to, some really interesting, and this brought up many, many years ago. Some of you might remember it, but some of the quotes from our founding fathers. And then if I get a chance, I want to read a little bit of what Abraham Lincoln wrote, which was really quite inspiring. But this is really about the re-nurturing right relationship with God, which brings, by its very nature, should bring civility back to our nation. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent on Winds of Change. Join us at noon weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
We are the students of St. Stan LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the 3 pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, return to civility. That's what we need. Because what I was going to say is, you know, how do you find yourself when you're in a conversation with somebody, you're kind of dancing around to kind of figure out, okay, what can I say? What can I not say? Especially when we want to talk about these things that are very close to our heart, our hearts, the faith of the church, the state of our nation, what is our future, where are we going, what have we done, what has happened. You know, these are the things you'd think that we'd want to have a conversation about this stuff.
So the worst thing for me is when I can't be myself, when I have to pick and choose what might not, you know, what's going to set you off. I mean, I just don't function that way. I would rather tell the truth I believe. Again, I'm not telling you should believe this. I'm telling you, this is what I believe. And if you ask me, I'll tell you why.
Yeah, and you know, that goes back to the faith. I mean, I grew up among Protestants and Baptists. At that time, you know, they were very anti-Catholic. Most of my friends in school and all that, and so, you know, they would come on the attack, but we would, you know, I would listen to I even visited their churches and all that, and I never found reason to be critical. I didn't. I maybe didn't really care for the style of the worship or whatever it might be. But I was respectful and but even then, so often, you know, trying to defend Catholicism, it was as if we were on two, and this is how, what it feels like right now. We're like living in two different realities, right? And I think those of us, and when I say conservative, I mean, you know, again, to conserve what has been handed down to us for the well-being of the present and future, for our civilization. Because God is a God of order, and God is about civilization, right? But anyway, and so let's just look at a little bit of this, our founding fathers. Now, this was, so we've begun the season of Advent, and we heard the plea from the prophet Isaiah on Sunday, which really seems very appropriate for our day and our time in history, and I suppose it's appropriate for any time in history, but we do know that even in our, I mean, things are radically different today than they were 30 years ago, mm-hmm. or 36 years ago when I was ordained a priest. There's nothing new under the sun. I get that. I understand that. But the intensification of the disorder or the fact that you got to be on guard if you're wearing your faith in a public way, you know. But Isaiah said, "You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. You are named forever. Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants." I mean, that seems very appropriate for this day and time, certainly from my perspective, because it seems like we've hardened our hearts. We no longer fear God. And that's the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear is to live in reverence, respect, you know, as we would respect our parents, we would respect our elders. But God is God. God is, you know, God is supreme. God is perfection. God is incomprehensible love. God is his greatest attribute is mercy, but he's also just. And this is what we've been hearing all this past week, and we'll be hearing this through the season of Advent. So if some of you who may have been listening for a long time, I wonder if you remember this, back in 2012, it was actually 2012, so we're going back, what, 8 years?
Oh.
I had read this very interesting commentary from the Russian newspaper called Pravda, which means truth, which questioned the commentary, the article, this commentary questioned the direction America is moving. And the article stated that as Orthodox Christianity in Russia, Russian Orthodox as a church, rebuilds from what atheistic communism destroyed, America rapidly rejects the principles which made America the envy of other nations. This is right from the Russian newspaper Pravda. And then in the article, they quote some of our founding fathers. And these were the quotes that were, these are the men who were quoted. James Madison, 1778, who said, "We've staked our future on our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our hearts."
Wow.
John Adams, 1798, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other."
Wow.
Interesting. George Washington, the first president of the United States, he said, "It is impossible to rightly govern without God and the Bible." You know, now what politicians do is they'll use God,
of course,
and they'll use the Bible, take it out of context, or use it to
Get mad at someone that does that.
Yeah, I've been listening to this already for the last week or so.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson said, "God, who gave us life, gave us liberty, and can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God, that they are not to be violated, but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reject that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. It's a powerful, powerful statement. Yeah. But to speak today about the wrath of God, oh, by the way, one of our listeners, I got a call after the show on Friday. It was Friday, yeah.
I'm sorry, Father.
No, it was not. It was okay, great. I enjoyed very much speaking with her, and I forgot her name, but she called and she told me, you know, that what's happening is God's wrath, that we've so deviated.
That's a good point.
From truth. So that's a confirmation here as I'm reading. Now I'm drawing back to that. So we had a very, very nice conversation, and she wanted me to, and she said to Father Coyes as well, you know, just I wanted to share this with you. And she said this is, and it comes from her own reflection, her own prayer. She's a Third Order Carmelite.
Oh.
And a very religious woman. You could tell as I was speaking to her, and it's true. You know, we don't want to speak about that. We don't want to believe that. But you know, God's you know his justice is also his mercy, and it's you know, when we talk about the full counsel of God, if we what parent would allow a child to go? I mean, we're right off the Kennedy Expressway. Mm-hmm. If I see my son or daughter on the expressway or in the street,
right?
You know, I'm gonna go to the rescue. I'm gonna rescue them. You know, and they keep going back. And he, you know, I had a friend. This is a good example. I had a friend years ago when I was went home. This is when I was a seminarian, and we were in school together, and he got married, and he had his son. So I went home. It was Christmas time, and we're sitting in the living room. We're having a conversation, and of course, we had a real Christmas tree with needles. You know, the Christmas those
pine needles. Yeah.
No, the needles.
Right.
So the little boy's name was Christopher. He went up to the tree and he kept poking at the bulbs. Right. He was just a little okay, guy, maybe right. 2 years old or something like that. And my friend Mark, he says, you know, Christopher, get away from the tree. You're gonna pull that tree down, get away from the tree. And he took him, he put him over to the toy chest because we had lots of nieces and nephews, and let them, you know, here play with the toys. So we go back to talking. That little boy, he goes back to the tree, and he's poking at all this stuff and push. You know, he says, Christopher, I said, what I'd say, get away from that tree. You're gonna hurt yourself. You're gonna pull the tree down. Get away. He went, took him, put him to the toy chest. Okay. So he goes again, a third time. You know, we're talking, and I'll say, here he is, the kid. Christopher, he's back at that tree and he's poking at the bulbs and all that. So his father went up and said, I told you, this is the third time I'm telling you. He took Mark, my friend, pulled one of those needles out of the tree and pricked his finger with a needle. Did he go back to the tree?
Nope.
He never went back to the tree.
And now he goes to DCFF because
because
in today's times that's abuse.
Exactly right.
But that's a valuable lesson taught.
Sure, but that's that was
he wasn't listening any other way.
The wrath of his father, you know, in order to save him and prevent something worse from happening. So, you know, we're like little children, you know.
We've missed that today. I think that's one of the things.
Well, you know, I hear this from parents all the time. You know, the kids no respect for the authority. Yep. And maybe it's because as adults we've perpetuated adolescent behavior. We have yet to mature, collectively speaking. You wonder, right? Anyway, but it's interesting that these quotes that I just read no longer can be read in the revisionist history books of today's America.
Yep.
Yet we read them in Pravda newspaper of today's Russia. This really should be a wake-up call. And the season of Advent calls us to wake up. In the gospel, Jesus, this past Sunday, said, be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. It says, watch, therefore, you do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cock crow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. So this whole season of Advent calls us to vigilant prayer in anticipation of the coming of Jesus in glory as the just judge of all peoples and all nations. If he were to come today, what would he find? What would he find in our nation? What would he find in our life? We are his servants, each with his or her own work. So what are we doing? You know, the prophet Isaiah concluded with this another plea. He says, return, O Lord, our Father, for the sake of your servants. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you, while you wrought awesome deeds we could not hope for, such as they had not heard of from of old, nor eye has heard, no ear has heard, no eye has seen any God but you doing such deeds for those who wait for him. Would that you might meet us doing right, that we are mindful of you and your ways. Again, we are his servants, each with his or her own work. What are we doing? What will the Lord find in us in our nation? These are the questions we have to ponder as we enter into this season of Advent, because it's a penitential season. It's a time to repent, as we're going to hear this coming Sunday. You know, Nick, we'll take a final break, okay? We'll take a final break, come back, and just kind of wrap up, okay? So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDC.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Have you thought about the importance of almsgiving this Lent? The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops teaches us that during Lent, we are asked to focus more intently on almsgiving. In the book of Tobit, the archangel Raphael gives great counsel to Tobit and his son Tobias that you and I should heed as well. Quote, prayers with fasting and alms with right conduct are better than riches with iniquity. Better to practice almsgiving than to hoard up gold. End quote. And he adds, now listen to this astounding promise. Almsgiving saves from death and purges every kind of sin. Those who give alms have their fill of days. Wow, I'm in. How about you? I'm Jim Littleton, forming faithful families. God love you.
We are the students of St. Stan's La Costa Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org. to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
You are invited to a series of Father Anthony's reflections on prayer entitled Lex Orandi, Lex Credendi, Lex Vivendi. As we pray, so we believe. As we believe, so we live. These reflections will be presented each Thursday during Lent on Winds of Change. Join us at noon, weekdays on AM 750. You can also download the podcast and listen anytime to Winds of Change.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up. And how are we going to wrap up? What do you want to...
How are we going to wrap up?
Repent.
Repent.
How would you define repent? Because this is Advent is a penitential season.
Changing your ways. I don't know. Realizing what is right.
Right.
Trying to do what's right. Understanding what's right.
Yeah.
I mean, if no one is talking about it, I was trying to do this with my nephew. I was trying to explain to him, you know, a conscience and how do you know what's right and wrong. There's a sense in us all that we don't see this being right and wrong. And but to be honest, I mean, even wrong things, sometimes people reason away why they're wrong. And, right. you know, I mean, you know, there's a good in being wrong in a sense, you know, if the better.
But that goes back to your possession.
Yeah.
Not that we're, you know, it's not in the strictest sense of the
yeah.
word, diabolical possession. But there is something, you know, that, again, the devil is a deceiver.
Yeah.
He is a seducer. He is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
He creates an illusion. And he's also the accuser.
Right.
And so if we don't see this, as I'm beginning to reflect, I got to get this letter done this afternoon, as a matter of fact, but I haven't even begun, just kind of reflecting a little bit, but because that's the gospel is John the Baptist says, repent and be baptized. It's the baptism for the remission of sins. But the sense that that we need to change, as you said, we got to change our ways. That if how hard it is because we've been so conditioned,
yeah.
so radically conditioned away from the values and the principles and the very law of God written into our hearts. And I the more and more I reflect on this, and again I probably have said it many times, but I think part of the thing is we don't want the discipline
yeah.
of the faith. Our faith is a discipline. It's not, you know, just you do whatever you want. It's mm-hmm. it's okay. Everything is okay. It's all relative. You know, it's that relativism, the dictatorship of relativism, as Pope Benedict would say, that it's all, you know, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. You do your thing, I do my thing, and no judgment, please, no judgment. But and even if you say, well, we're so conditioned even not to, well, I can't make a, I don't want to judge you, but we have to make judgment,
right.
you know, righteous judgment, not the self-righteous judgment, but we have to judge the course of our nation, the course of our personal lives. And that's why if things have been done in a wrong way, in a deceitful way, that should be corrected. If not, you know, then, you know, you got to kiss it goodbye. You know, it's the nation, the family, the marriage, the, you know, somebody once said, what you do today will determine who you are 10 years from now. And if you live in truth and with, you know, you live the virtues, you obey the commandments, you know. Anyway, this will come up later because this is so much a part of the whole theme of Advent. Anyway, thanks very much for joining us today, and we'll be back. Father Coys will be here tomorrow, I believe, and then we'll be back Thursday. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. Winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take the